The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Good morning. This is Andrew Locher substituting in for Stephen Flurry. He's traveling today. I'm assisted by Sam as a producer, and he's juggling quite a few duties in the other room. So appreciate his efforts this morning. Well, as you heard yesterday, Mr. Stephen Flurry has flown to Western Canada. He's begun a very busy summer of personal appearance campaigns. It's something the church has done for decades, and really it's a very effective program. Last night, he delivered his second message in Red Deer, Alberta. We had probably about 110 to 115 people in attendance there to hear the second of a two-part series. 65 to 70 different people that don't typically attend services with the PCG, they were present for one or both of the lectures. We had a few new ones last night that came in. We had visitors from all three provinces of Saskatchewan, British Columbia, and Alberta. We invited nearly 2,000 subscribers, Trumpet subscribers and church members from those three provinces, and we're very pleased with the turnout that we had. The Philadelphia Church of God has a Feast of Tabernacles site in Western Canada. That was even discussed a little bit yesterday. It's in a different location this year. But I was thinking about the size of the audience yesterday as Stephen Flurry was talking about how many people came to hear the first message that he gave. He was recounting some history there for the feast site there in Red Deer. And what inspired me was to think that while it wasn't the same size as our feast attendance and what we anticipate this year, the number of people we had at these campaigns was about two-thirds the size of the typical size of the feast site. To me, it shows the potential for the work of God. Now, obviously, many of those in attendance at the campaign were members or prospective members of the church. And we also understand that not every single non-member that came to the campaign will ultimately become a member, but it does show you potential. And it does, at least in my estimation, really highlight the value of these campaigns. If you're interested, you can visit our personal appearance campaign website. The URL is www.pac.thetrumpet.com. So it's pac.thetrumpet.com. When you go there, you'll see a list of cities we're currently planning on visiting. If you're interested in attending, you can log in using your Trumpet credentials and register to attend. You'll receive a ticket via email, and we'd love to see you come to a campaign if you can. We have 12 more cities planned this summer to visit with the campaign. Next up is New York City. Well, actually, next is Spokane. I'll get to that in a moment. But then New York City, Memphis, we're going to Toronto, Detroit, Chicago, the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina area, Cincinnati, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Sacramento, Indianapolis, and Tallahassee, Florida. All of that planned for this summer. A morning flight is planned to Spokane, Washington, to take the crew from Red Deer down to Washington. It's a single night event. And then after that event tonight, and after visiting with some of the attendees, the crew will fly home. And it's very inspiring to see the number of people that have requested tickets. It's a much larger attendance than we had initially anticipated. Spokane is somewhat unique for us, as I'll explain in just a moment. But we've had about 150 tickets requested. And there's kind of a different audience anticipated. In Red Deer, the majority of those that came actually attend services with the Philadelphia Church of God. In Spokane, it reverses, where it should be about a 2-to-1 ratio. Twice as many people that don't attend with the Philadelphia Church of God will be in attendance compared to those that do attend services there. Spokane is not one of our larger congregations, but it is a unique area for us. Historically, we've had campaigns in Seattle and in the Portland area, but nothing really east of the Cascade Mountain Range there in Washington. Mr. Gerald Fleury has history in this area as a minister from the Worldwide Church of God days. We've had television there on quite a few different stations for a number of years. The brochure that we hand out at the campaigns state that Mr. Gerald Fleury has been an ordained minister for more than 45 years. Again, a lot of that tenure right there in the Washington area. And then, of course, Mr. Stephen Fleury has been an ordained minister for 25, maybe 27 years, somewhere in that range. So there's a lot of ministerial history in that area, family connections to that area. And we're very excited to see the response for this campaign. This is a new concept for us where we go out and we hit the larger city or the larger expected audience for a two-night event. And we follow that up with a single night event on the return trip home. So I'm very anxious to hear how that goes. We have pretty high expectations for that campaign. Well, I'm sure Mr. Stephen Fleury will report more on the campaigns and discuss all of this on future Trumpet Daily Radio broadcasts. I just wanted to give you a little bit of that history. But we'll take a break right now. And when we return, I want to cover some disturbing reports about what's taking place in the larger cities of America. So we'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
To America's founding fathers, character meant everything to the success of the nation and its leadership. The Constitution was based upon the fundamental principles of religion and morality. These were the primary building blocks of the American nation. George Washington said, "The foundations of our national policy will be laid in the pure and immutable principles of private morality." Character was no minor issue to America's first president. He regarded it as the basis of national policy. Where did the founding fathers develop these ideas? Many of these principles stemmed from the Holy Scriptures. The Bible provided early Americans with the instruction and guidance of how to properly govern one's life. These beliefs helped build a nation of strong families and upright leaders. Today, America has dismissed the Bible as the foundation of developing righteous character. Men now leave it to themselves to determine right from wrong. Where has the rejection of biblically based principles led this nation? There is a cause for these effects. To understand the course of events that have led this nation to its current state, visit thetrumpet.com and click on the literature tab to request our free booklet, Character in Crisis.
The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back. Perhaps the most important technology we have here in the mail processing center today is the rolling chair. Sam Livingston is zipping back and forth in the window in front of me, doing the job of about three people. Not to mention that I'm a different type of presenter for him. This is a different studio, so it's been pretty entertaining watching him launch clips and take care of things. And then I think I surprised him by going to the break as soon as I did. So Sam's doing a great job. He's getting some good exercise in. He's following the admonition of Stephen Fleury to be active. So well done, Sam. Well, the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City reported in January this year that cities with populations of 25,000 people or less have been in decline with regard to the size of population and economic growth. So smaller cities are getting smaller and less viable. On the flip side of that, as they reported, big cities are getting bigger. What are the consequences of that reality of the bigger cities getting bigger? Well, as you can imagine, many of the larger cities on Earth were not planned to handle the multiple millions of people that now reside there. Infrastructure is grossly inadequate, and that leads to utter misery on so many levels. That's not the intention that God had in mind when he created man and asked him to populate the earth. Did you know you can learn the cause of today's problems with big cities through prophecy and history that's recorded in our Bibles? That might sound a little surprising to some, And yet it's quite revealing. And it does reflect an attitude that's broadcast by Satan the devil, an attitude that seems to be embraced by man. And you can just see that by the way these cities are growing. Looking back historically, Adam and Eve's son Cain built cities. He built walls around his cities. He did so to protect himself. He was attempting to extricate himself from God's correction. And that pattern of building cities and rebelling against God's intention was followed later by Nimrod. We're probably more familiar with his story. You can study Genesis chapters 4 through 11 and read of that history and think about everything that is recorded there. When you study the Bible, you see God's intention was for man to spread out. God gave him an abundant earth that was just huge. And he commanded man to use that earth and to use the resources to promote life, to enjoy abundance and peace. In Genesis chapter 1, and this doesn't exactly directly relate, but I think it gives us a good idea of what God wanted. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And in my mind, God is basically saying, spread out. I recently drove from Oklahoma up to Wisconsin. And honestly, it doesn't really matter too much where you drive in the United States. When you get outside of the cities, there's vast open spaces that could be inhabited. Of course, we need farmland. We need other greenbelt areas. But it's amazing to me how much space there is. And yet mankind typically packs into these cities. Verse 28 of Genesis 1 says, "God blessed them, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it." And he talks again about the dominion. God's intention is for us to use the entire earth to congregate in huge numbers in cities. Really goes contrary to God's intention for mankind. And the result is terrible problems, sanitation, violence, and disease. It can be very depressing. And in a way, almost like a trap that's hard to escape. I have several audio clips that I want to play for you here on the program today. This first one comes from NBC News. It's about 6 months old, and we'll go ahead and play clip number two, please.
Skid Row has long been synonymous with homelessness in America. But today, homeless encampments in Los Angeles have sprouted up across the city, from Hollywood to neighborhoods like Echo Park, to South LA. And unlike in most major cities where the vast majority of the homeless live in shelters, in LA, the majority of homeless live on the streets in plain sight, in vehicles, tents, makeshift encampments, with nowhere to go.
Now we're going to focus on the greater Los Angeles area with today's program to highlight a serious plague, or you could say serious curses, that are really shocking if you take time to meditate and think about what's going on. You might recall, and you've heard many times on this particular program and really in our materials, that the state of California launched an offensive against God's church that happened decades ago. And because of that attack, I think California does lead the United States in many ways in the curses that God is sending upon a rebellious people. Now, God's not a respecter of persons, and he doesn't have anything against people in California more than the world or anywhere else in the world. But because they attacked God's church, I think you do find more of the curses there. In my mind, it's very easy for me to picture some of the larger cities of the less developed nations around the globe that suffer from filth and squalor, poor planning, a terrible economy, or one that's just not real productive. It can't support the number of people there. I think of cities like New Delhi or Mexico City, Port-au-Prince in Haiti, Baghdad or Dhaka in Bangladesh, some of those cities where the real struggle with the natural disasters, the lack of employment in some places, a lack of educational opportunity, that really drags down the potential for those cities and the people there to really prosper. Now, it might surprise you to hear some of the populations of these cities around the world. It's really staggering in my mind, the number of people that live there. I got these figures from worldatlas.com, and they list the 10 largest cities in the world. Number one is Shanghai with 24.1 million people. 21.4 million people live in that area. Now, not on this list, but if you look at the greater Los Angeles area, they have an estimated population of 18.97 million people, which would make them second biggest on this list. That's followed by Beijing with over 18 million, Karachi around 18 million, Istanbul with 14 million. So you're looking at really numbers that you can't comprehend. It's estimated that 50 to 75,000 homeless people live in Los Angeles. And there's really a lot of layers for us to consider here. I have a reporter, a clip here from the Los Angeles Times. This is from May 2019. Clip three, please.
Homelessness in Southern California. It is a crisis that seems to have so many questions and too few answers. A new report due out at the end of the month is likely to show very little progress has been made, even though Los Angeles spent more than $600 million last year to address it.
Now, that's a pretty startling amount of money, $619 million to address this problem. This is a story in the Los Angeles Times from about 6 weeks ago. And the subhead to that article, or the quip below it, basically asks, has it made a difference? If you look in the news, even just from yesterday, again, Southern California, more stories about the sheer amount of money that's being spent to address these issues. Has the money spent changed the situation? Well, really, it hasn't changed anything at all. I had thought of this subject based on something Mr. Gerald Flurry brought out in a recent message. And he was talking about the health risks that are already presenting themselves in Los Angeles. And those risks will spread from city to city, as you'll see in a moment. If you consider just one example here, the amount of trash that must be disposed of in Los Angeles. Again, just one example here. Let me quote to you from the Southern California Department of Sanitation. They said Sunshine Canyon Landfill takes in by far the most amount of waste of any of the landfills in Los Angeles County. In 2015 or 2015, it took in 2.4 million tons of solid waste. That is over 7,700 tons per day. Now, that might not mean a whole lot to you. I converted that to pounds. In that one landfill, they are receiving 17 million pounds of trash per day. How do you deal with such staggering numbers as I just really can't wrap my mind around it? Now, going back to this NBC report that we played the first clip from, this aired about 6 months ago. You can find it on YouTube. But now consider some of these other reports. Clip four, please.
Lieutenant Howard Wong of LA's Sanitation Department works with teams of inspectors who deal with the homeless and public health hazards.
Types of health hazards out here can be biological, chemical.
He took us to see what he encounters on a regular basis.
Abandoned urine containers, biological waste such as feces or sewage located on the public areas, the sidewalks, the parks, on the beach. We have been receiving more requests to conduct homeless cleanups, but our resources are stretched thin.
Lieutenant Wong says the department can have 10 to 13 teams a day conducting operations like this across the city.
Again, I'm breaking up this NBC report. In a lot of ways, I would like to have just played the whole thing for you. It's about 10 minutes long, and it follows the movements of some of these workers in the city, in the county of Los Angeles, that are required to go out and deal with some of these issues. There are several public service departments, including sanitation and the police, that have to deal with this problem on a day-to-day basis, and it's getting worse. I was going to play another clip. I won't, just to save some time. But the narrator of NBC goes in and discusses what the leadership is trying to deal with in the city. It's a very liberal leadership over the Los Angeles County area. We'll quote the mayor in just a moment. They're determined that the homeless individuals are allowed to keep some of their possessions, and they've restricted or limited what the police and sanitation department can do to clear the ways. Now, this really does get to the heart and core of the problem. We're certainly not against those that are homeless. And it just is a total side story. You could read reports how many people in this country are just a paycheck away from homelessness. The amount of debt is staggering. And so politicians today appealing to the masses trying to be voted into office, perhaps sincerely believing that they have solutions, they're promising more and more handouts, more and more programs to forgive debt, to enable those that are homeless to try to work with them. And again, the concept of helping an individual is something that we support very much. But how you go about it, that's something altogether different. And so the city of Los Angeles has allowed a homeless individual to keep about 60 gallons of their personal belongings with them on the street. 60 gallons worth. You kind of have to watch the video to see. You think of those big plastic buckets, those hold 5 gallons. So they can have about 12 buckets worth of belongings there that they're allowed to keep. If they have anything more than that, the city has passed legislation that requires the city to house the additional items in a warehouse of the homeless individuals. And so if it's a broken skateboard, clothing, whatever it might be, the sanitation department can't throw it out any longer as long as a homeless person claims to own that property. And so in the video clip, they show a warehouse filled with bins where the city is spending money to house, to catalog, to protect the belongings of the homeless individuals. Again, I understand human dignity. That factors into this. But where is this going to stop? The city is required to address this problem. How much money is being spent to store those belongings? It's not getting bigger, better. In fact, the problem is growing. Clip 5, please.
Officer Dion Joseph has been working on Skid Row for 20 years and has seen it grow from only a few blocks to more than 50.
There's nothing we can do. All we can do is do the weekly cleanings at certain streets. That's the only thing stopping it from turning into a giant petri dish is these street cleanings. If there's any saving grace, that's it.
Not only must they deal with the dirtiness, the sickness that naturally comes along with that. There's trouble with rodents and animals, as we'll talk about here in just a moment. Again, this is a very dark picture, but what I want to bring out and what caught Mr. Fleury's attention are some clips we'll play in a few minutes here, but this is reality. This is going on today in the greater Los Angeles area, in San Francisco. I'm sure other big cities around the country, they're trying to deal with this problem. And along with the homelessness and the lack of property rights, you might say, there's a growing trend of violence that's associated with this problem. The homeless are defending themselves. They're trying to protect their areas. And it's becoming, again, another problem for the police to deal with. Again, from NBC News, we'll play clip number 6, please.
Officer Joseph says criminal activity in the encampments is putting people in danger.
The gangsters have completely taken control of pretty much every block. They are now taxing the homeless just to sleep on the sidewalk. We're pulling out high-powered weapons from tents. We're pulling out swords. We're pulling out handguns and ounces and ounces of meth, cocaine, and heroin.
In the city's latest budget, the amount allocated to homelessness more than doubled to $430 million. LA Mayor Eric Garcetti has made homelessness a key focus of his administration.
We are pursuing something in which we try to get services to folks while also knowing that there's public health and right-of-way issues. We still have to continue cleaning the streets. Everybody expects that. But it is the most complicated public policy issue one will ever tackle.
It really is. And this is exactly why God gave us an entirely different plan for how to live. But when we go contrary to those ways of God, when we think we have a better solution, then we have these kind of problems. I applaud the effort, again, of trying to deal with it. And as Mayor Garcetti pointed out, he has right-of-way issues, or they have to still function as an economy, as a city that works well together. They have to take care of those that are homeless. It is a complicated issue, and there are health problems that are presenting themselves. When you study the Bible about some of the curses coming upon this entire globe through the tribulation, the day of the Lord, but even before that, when you look at some of the curses that are prophesied to come upon Israel in this end time, you often find these Hebrew words or Greek words that intertwine definitions of pestilence and violence together. And so you have these issues that do create problems for sickness, for well-being. And as I said, it often leads to violence. And that is something that those police officers are having to deal with. The current Los Angeles mayor, Eric Garcetti, helps define how complicated the problem is in that video. And again, we won't get into that. But the video shows these town hall meetings that the mayor is conducting in the different suburbs of Los Angeles. And they're heated meetings. The residents are fed up with this problem. They want to be sympathetic, but they want the homelessness out of their communities. Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, some of these areas are looking at plans to build housing to provide, again, some shelter and a fresh start in life for some of these individuals that are suffering there. But the problem is nobody wants those homes and those shelters built anywhere near their neighborhoods because they know the problem is too big. They're just putting a drop of water in a 5-gallon bucket in an attempt to deal with the problems. And again, it's becoming worse. The people of Los Angeles, I would think you could say pretty much anywhere, the people of the cities don't want to invest their money into these kind of problems. They'd like to see their roads fixed or their teachers paid more. They'd like to see their taxes decreased. They'd like to deal with other infrastructure problems, and yet they really can't. Now, the problem gets even worse as you dig in deeper. As you've been hearing for months now, there is a strong liberal push to prevent the President Donald Trump's administration from enforcing active border control laws that regulate the inflow of immigrants. Right? There's resistance, and a lot of it is politically based. California has opened sanctuary cities, as have other locations around the country. And in particular, they're inviting in thousands, if not millions, of illegal immigrants to cross the border. There are problems in other countries around the world. There's dictatorship, there's oppression, there's drought and famine, there's lack of opportunity. And as a parent, obviously you'd want what's best for your children, you'd want what's best for your community. But just coming to another nation with dreams of free healthcare, free education, and all of that, it's just not viable. I think we all understand that, and yet we still have these public debates going on, and it's misrepresented from one side to another. There is a story this morning on Fox News from the Laura Ingraham show where she calls out House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and basically just, you know, accuses her of bringing in the discussion of children to emotionally charge this issue and to accuse the Trump administration of, you know, hating children or persecuting children. And as Laura Ingraham points out, deportations of illegal families, it does have repercussions. And it does get back to a core issue of the rule of law. We have quite a bit of material on that subject, the rule of law. And it is something that really will preserve societies and communities. It's a godly concept. It's non-discriminatory. It's really unbiased and outlays the basic understanding of how things will work. And if it's not interpreted, if it's just applied, then there's some reality people can deal with. And so we have these problems now of inviting in and just trying to deal with the volume of immigrants. Some that come here will get jobs. Some will contribute to the U.S. society, to the economy. But facts prove that many will not. I have a quote here from May 21st, 2019. This was an NBC News report. And I just wanted to try to get some of the more liberal press stories to show somewhat the hypocrisy of what's being asked and what's being reported. But also just to, again, define how this problem really is insoluble. This article says Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom wants to spend about $98 million a year to cover low-income immigrants between the ages of 19 and 25 who are living in the country illegally. So a $100 million investment project here to provide health care to low-income immigrants, what should be a reasonably healthy age, but they're illegally in the United States. $98 million a year, which sounds exorbitant. But think about this. The next statement in this article says the state assembly has a bill that would cover all immigrants in California living in the country illegally over the age of 19. Newsom has balked at that plan because its estimated costs of $3.4 billion. Where are we going to get $3.4 billion? That's just to provide health care, not for legal residents. This is for the illegal immigrant community in California. Where are we going to get $3.4 billion? Governor Newsom said there's 3.4 billion reasons why it is a challenge. And they go on to discuss about how are they going to achieve this. So many of the proposed solutions these days, whether it be with respect to the climate or economy, fighting wars, sharing territory or dividing up lands, dealing with the homeless, dealing with healthcare issues. So many of these solutions that are put forth are pipe dreams. You can't execute these plans. There's no money. It's absolutely impossible. Mankind is being forced to deal with the society that they crafted. This is not how God intended things to go. God does care about each individual. God has a plan, as we'll talk about at the end of today's program, to provide space, to provide health and prosperity. It says he desires that. In fact, God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, that we might have an abundant life. But the catch is we have to do it God's way. Man doesn't know how to guide his own steps. We don't have solutions of our own. We don't have to guess at it. God has printed those solutions in the pages of his Bible. And as I'll talk about at the end of today's program, he's called you and I to be educated in those solutions, to develop his character, his compassion, his willingness to do whatever he can to help individuals out of these problems. Now, getting back to our issue here, I just wanted to define the scope of what the government is dealing with, the United States government, and how many they have to process. This is a report from Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, and the report here is dealing with legal crossings through the different ports of entry into the United States. This does not consider illegal crossings. Again, I just want you to think of the scope of what we're dealing with here. From Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, they say the U.S.-Mexico border crossing is among the busiest in the world. There are more than 300 ports of entry along the border where customs officials process more than 350 million travelers and 100 million vehicles each year. More people flow through that border each year than live in the United States. The population of the United States is, I think, roughly about 330 million people. And yet on this border, they're dealing with 350 million travelers per year. How? How do you manage that situation? That's why you read these reports. And I think if you went down there and just witnessed what they're dealing with, it's impossible. This report says international travel in 2017, there were 78.6 million inbound international visitors to the United States. So this is talking about mostly travel into the United States via the air. And they have to deal with issues there, too. This is from the charter of the U.S. Border and Border Control Protocol. They have to be on the lookout for individuals that show symptoms of diseases like gonorrhea, leprosy, syphilis, tuberculosis. And they have to watch out for that. So how do they do that? Well, the Center for Disease Control, I think the CDC, anyway, CDC Quarantine and Border Health Service helps in this process. They protect the public's health through detection of and response to communicable diseases related to travel and imported pathogens. They also improve the health of global mobile populations transitioning to U.S. communities. So the CDC is there working with Customs and Border Control, monitoring the ports of entry to this country, on the lookout for disease. They do, the United States is open for providing medical care to those that are suffering. And so treating and handling those individuals that are carrying a disease has to be carefully handled. This report says they connect newly arrived immigrants who have certain health conditions with state public health authorities. And then the report goes on to talk about some of the things they've dealt with, such as the Ebola epidemic in 2014. And as I understand it, that epidemic is worse right now than it was back then. So you have millions of people crossing the borders. Some, probably a few, but still some potentially are carrying toxic or deadly diseases and sicknesses. Now, I have a few longer clips from the Laura Ingraham show on Fox News. And this was a report from about 6 or 7 weeks ago, May 2019. This is a report that caught the attention of Gerald Flurry. Clip 7, please.
I have to begin with this shocking case out of L.A. And two friends of mine have told me about this. A police officer now has contracted that really rare and life-threatening illness, disease, typhoid fever. Now, what is it, fewer than 350 Americans contract this every year? So what's going on here?
We have complete breakdown of the basic needs of civilization in Los Angeles right now. We have the three prongs of airborne disease, tuberculosis is exploding. Rodent-borne, we are one of the only major cities in the country, does not have a rodent control program, and sanitation has broken down. We had a typhus outbreak last summer. We will have a typhus outbreak this summer. I'm hearing from experts that bubonic plague is likely. It's already here. It will get onto the rat fleas. And then now finally we have this oral fecal route contamination, which is typhoid fever. Three cases, one confirmed, probably three. This is unbelievable. I can't believe I live in a city where this is not third world, Laura. This is medieval. Third world countries are insulted if they are accused of being like this. No city on earth tolerates this. The entire population is at risk. And God forbid if measles, this is a population that's suboptimally immunized. If measles gets in, I just have an image of myself on my knees in the gutter attending to people, because this summer is likely to be a very profound problem.
That really is just a shocking clip to think about. 6 weeks old. We've moved on. There's been other problems in the world. It still, as I said, hits the news today about the money they intend to spend to try to deal with some of these issues. But what's alarming, as Drew Pinsky points out here, is this is Los Angeles. This is a nation that has resources supposedly to deal with sickness and to prevent situations like this. We've been blessed with resources. And yet the problem is exploding, as he said. And those are some pretty frightening diseases. I was going to play to you a clip, which again, I won't do, it was a doctor that discussed what the symptoms are of bubonic plague. That's a pretty strong term to use, or a pretty severe sickness, which Dr. Pinsky said is likely the Black Death. The symptoms start and they resemble a minor cold. It just seems like a little infection, and they worsen, and I won't get into all the details. They gave an example of an individual who had bubonic plague that was treated just in the last year, I believe, and they showed pictures of him in the hospital, and of course, he was hooked up to all the instruments. He was getting all these medications, and they said it's actually a sickness they can treat these days with prescription medications, and so it was kind of a positive story. They dealt with this issue. The individual was going to be released from the hospital. And on his way out, as he was walking out the door, I noticed he was wearing gloves and shoes, of course. And they said, well, he's going home for a few weeks before he returns to have all of his fingers and toes amputated. They showed pictures, and his fingers were black, hence the name of bubonic plague and the Black Death that just devastated Europe, that caused the death of millions of people. It transmitted by rodents, as was said there. And so here you have a well-respected doctor on a very popular television program just 6 weeks ago saying, and I quote here, "I'm hearing from experts that bubonic plague is likely. It is already here. It will get onto the rat fleas." And he goes on, and it's not just bubonic plague he's worried about. As he said, there's measles and typhoid fever, and he... As he said there, he pictured himself just falling to his knees, trying to treat those that are suffering from this illness. When you think back to that NBC clip that we played about just the expansion of Skid Row, and to see the pictures of the homeless individuals that aren't afforded proper sanitation, and the city having to deal with human waste and other problems. And of course, then you have the rodent problem. And even Dr. Pinsky drew attention to that the city of Los Angeles has no means of dealing with rodents. There's no stated program there. And maybe it's because they're trying to spend $3.4 billion on healthcare. And as was suggested by Gerald Fleury, maybe they know what's coming. And that's the push for free healthcare, because they have to contain these problems. It devastated Europe. The spread of bubonic plague. Really, it is a scary situation. And Dr. Drew Pinsky is well known. He's not some, you know, fake news story, some crackpot. This is reality. This is what's going on in the streets of cities in the United States. I have another report here. This is from the Voice of America News. This is from October 2018. Clip 8, please.
It's never been considered a very common disease, but we seem to see it more frequently. And it seems to be extending across from Southern California all along the Mexican border and into southeastern Texas and then into the Gulf Coast in Florida.
That was a doctor, Dr. Peter Hotez, I believe, from Baylor University. And I wanted to play that clip to show that it's not just isolated to a big city in Southern California. It is spreading across the borders, and he draws attention to southern border towns. We know that there's border crossings in Canada. We know that there are flights inbound from all over the world. There is an Ebola crisis that is plaguing Africa. All of these sicknesses, all of these diseases, we have the new bacteria that's antibacterial resistant, or that it's a superbug that mankind can't really address or deal with. You see, it's not just in Los Angeles. This problem is spreading across America. It's spreading, I'm sure, around the world. I want to play just one more segment from this Voice of America news program. This is clip number 9, please.
This may be one of many diseases with links to migration, urbanization, and climate change. Expert Peter Hotez speculates.
Others include dengue now are emerging in southern Texas and Florida, Zika virus infection, chikungunya. We have a huge problem with West Nile virus infection.
He says these are on the rise in many industrial nations with crowded cities and growing pockets of poverty.
So there we are. We keep coming back to the common denominator: growing cities, poverty, lack of sanitation, all of these problems. It's not just in our cities. And politicians have been either ignoring or playing this story up for their benefit. They're not providing any helpful solutions to the problems. And the reason for that is they don't have any. There's not one political party over another. There's not a doctor or an educator or anybody that has an answer to these problems outside of God. And the solution is much simpler than one can imagine. And what's more ironic, it's free. It doesn't cost billions or trillions of dollars. God's way promotes peace. It provides abundance. God is looking for obedience to his law. He's looking for a nation that subjects itself in humility to how he directs things to be done. And again, he's not doing it to oppress or to hold back people. It actually promotes abundance. Driving through campus today, we have a beautiful campus that's spread out over 170 acres, beautiful lakes. There's birds, there's deer, there's all kinds of animals out there. We have housing for students, but they're not all cramped up in small facilities. We have clean food. As you hear on this program, we promote athleticism or exercise. We promote moving and using our brains, communicating, fellowshipping. It's God's way of life. It's a way that obedience doesn't cost money, and it provides tremendous solution. The problem is this nation, end time Israel, is being cursed and plagued by God, and he's trying to get us to repent. I want to quote to you from Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is the blessings and cursings chapter, verses 15 through 22. I'm going to just grab a few quotes from that passage. Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 22. It says, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city." First location. Cursed shall you be in the field. He goes down a little further and says, "Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Eternal shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you be destroyed and until you perish quickly, because," this is why God does it, "because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby you have forsaken God." Cause and effect. It doesn't have to be this way. God doesn't want to bring about these horrible problems that mankind is trying to deal with. God says he'll make the pestilence cleave to us. It will suffer through consumption and fever and inflammation. Again, you can go on and read all those curses. Now, God also in that chapter talks about all the abundant blessings that he'll provide based on obedience. God is not negative. He's not pessimistic. He's not some evil God. In fact, Ezekiel 33, verse 11 says, "As I live, says the Eternal God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" That's God's position on all of this. He doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to further populate congested cities. God doesn't want us to suffer from these problems, the dignity issues, the inhumane lifestyles of those that are oppressed financially, through their health, whatever reason that has brought them to their homeless condition. The answer is not to provide handouts. The answer is to address the cause of the problems. And the cause, as God states, he is our creator. The cause is disobedience. That's the problem. God doesn't take pleasure in these curses, but God is building family. God is concerned with righteousness and obedience. God has defined a law that demands outflowing concern for other people. If everybody lived that way, and I know this might sound like a pretty platitude, But if everybody obeyed that law, we would not have homelessness. We would be able to work with and help those that are suffering through difficulties. There would be solutions, not politics. Now, we have two booklets that I'd like to recommend to you. You can download these off our website, thetrumpet.com, under the Literature Library. You can also make a request by emailing TDR at kpcg.fm. You could call our toll-free number that's printed on our websites. Again, we'll make this literature available to anyone and everyone. In fact, that's what Stephen Fleury is doing right now, traveling from city to city, is promoting this message of education. We don't dwell on the problems for no reason. We're trying to explain the reality of violating God's law. And the process of education is what we focus on. God gives us the answers. If you study the Ezekiel Watchman book, it talks about what's coming on this nation, especially the fourth and fifth chapters of Ezekiel, and also in our book. I believe it's chapters 4 and 5, if I'm not mistaken. But you can study the Ezekiel Watchman book because it gives us prophecy about where all of this is leading. And it should inspire us to make change in our lives so that we can contribute to the solution. The other book that I'd like to recommend to you is The New Throne of David. The New Throne of David. It is the most inspiring book we have to offer. It is proof that God has already begun the solution. It's being broadcast through this program. It's part of our message. God will rule this earth, and he will apply his law that promotes blessing. There's a chapter in that book, The New Throne of David, about Zechariah chapter 6. And there you find prophecies again about what we're seeing in our streets today. There are a lot of prophecies about the trouble that's coming. And it ties together civil unrest, violence, disease, sickness, hunger. And it brings about swift destruction of our nations. Just to really highlight how devastating this is, how serious it is, and the reality of what we're dealing with. I just want to play one more clip from Fox News. This is toward the end of the interview with Laura Ingraham and Dr. Pinsky. Clip number 10, please.
Well, meanwhile, we're welcoming in, tens of thousands into California in the next few months of illegal immigrants. And I had a chance to talk to a lot of these migrants after they crossed the border. They have no papers, they have no identification, but they have a friend or a relative who are going to go visit, and one couple of people had nowhere to go. So I don't know how you ever check health records, and they're flooding into many cities in California, San Jose, LA, right.
San
Diego.
And we can't handle our situation such as it is. And there's a very bizarre thing going on where the government is somehow insisting that housing is the problem, when in fact we have chronic mental illness, we have addiction, we have people who don't want to leave the streets. They literally won't take the housing if we give it to them. And that's the population that's vulnerable, and it's going to get so ill this summer. It scares me for their well-being. Laura, I need your help. I want to pierce their shield of qualified immunity so we can go after them for reckless negligence. This is disgusting. It is reckless negligence, and we have to have a solution to this.
That really is quite a testimony to what we're facing there. That show wraps up with the doctor just really begging Laura Ingraham to grasp the reality, as if it wasn't shocking enough. But she was moving on to the next clip. And I think in a way he was kind of frustrated because, well, it's just like the news cycle. You just move from one story to the next story, and it's just getting more and more gruesome. So many layers to this problem. God does have solution. We just kept the holy day, the Feast of Pentecost, which celebrates God's true church. God has called out some individuals to be trained, to be educated and taught the solutions, trained to love and to serve and to teach. That is our calling. God expects us to learn. God wants us to embrace the educational opportunities. All too often on our programming, you hear a call to educate yourself, to really immerse yourself into your Bible, into your prayer life, to meditate on these issues. We have an abundance of materials that we encourage you to dig into. I was going to have a little Bible study here at the end of this program, but ran out of time. I've just been taken aback here of the last several months of the basic sermon messages we've had at services and Bible studies that we've had. Yes, there is prophecy that's being fulfilled, and we need to know that. But God is also teaching us about faith. God is teaching us about how to communicate with one another, how to love. We had a message about the Beatitudes of Christ. We have all of this education and instruction in the solutions. I want to close today's program with one last hope-filled prophecy. This is a fact. This is sure to happen in our future. You find it in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Eternal shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it." This is God's government. Verse 2, "Many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. He shall judge among many people. He'll rebuke the strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." That's typically where we stop, because it is very hope-filled. And the prophecy, the fact that war is coming to an end is very inspiring. But think about verses 4 and 5. God continues here. He says, "But they shall sit, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Eternal of hosts has spoken this." God is going to give everybody some space, some land, some produce. Verse 5, "For all people will walk, everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Eternal our God forever and ever." May God speed that day. It's been a pleasure to be with you, and I believe we'll hear from Stephen Fleury tomorrow.